Would you ever do the one-to-one? Little CBD, little THC?
Ooh.
Have you ever tried vaginal weed suppositories?
Ooh.
Whoa. Hi.
Hi.
This is Rant and Review, where we rant about current events and then review a culturally relevant topic and give it a completely arbitrary rating. I'm Katie.
And I'm Allison.
And this week we will be reviewing
stand-up comedy. Katie, we have a guest this week.
Yet again, very excited.
I'm super excited about this guest. Our guest this week is a stand-up. So relevant. And also is a co-host of the podcast Hot Takes with Hot Dykes. Joining us to review stand-up comedy is the incredibly funny Clara Pluton.
Hi.
Hi. That's Thanks me. For joining us.
Oh my God, totally. I live down the street, so it's really easy.
Like really close?
I live like not really close, but close enough.
Cool.
I'm on Beacon, so I can just walk up the hill.
Great.
And make a deal with God. It's Leo season. Kate Bush is a Leo.
Ugh,
it's Angela Bassett's birthday. And then
today?
Yeah. And then 2 days ago was Whitney Houston's birthday.
Whoa.
So there's a lot to celebrate.
Star-studded. I'm actually named after Kate Bush.
Really?
That's what my dad says.
Is your first name Bush?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's Catherine.
Got it. Because I was like, I didn't think your name was Kate.
I was supposedly named after the Elvis Costello song.
Oh, Allison.
Yeah.
What are your signs?
I don't like that song. I'm Capricorn,
famously. Okay. Cap.
Why? Because
don't
boring.
Hate on me.
No, kind of like
it
a
famous potato.
Like a hard kind of to like deal a strict, with. Kind of strict,
got
or
it.
Like
a stringent.
A little bit of rules based.
Cool, rule oriented.
But yet, my moon sign is Cancer.
Okay, so you're also a martyr. So you're also manipulative. Cool.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm a Pisces, so I'm just like,
oh, that's a good match, though, because you know what? You got the rules, and you're here to have fun. It's a good dynamic.
That's our dynamic.
Give and play, push and pull.
That's our thing.
A little bit of an odd
couple
scenario.
What's your wife's sign?
Scorp.
Good match. Great match. Very good. You'll be together for a long time. Good time in a long time.
Yeah.
Can I burp into the mic, or should I go away?
You
I'm
know
drinking
what?
So many things.
Go for it.
A lot of bubbles over there.
Okay, good.
Mic burps are good.
I like a mic burp. It's fun.
What sign is your partner?
Libra.
Oh.
Good.
Wait, and you're a Leo?
Sagittarius.
You're a Sag.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm cusping Isn't Sag. I'm like barely a Capricorn. Literally the
But
day.
You are.
Yeah, but I am.
Wait, so it's just Leo now, right? Like, so it was cusping? Okay.
Yeah, because my niece and nephew are Leos and they just turned 10.
Oh my God, cute. Are they twins? Yeah. Or they're just born on the same day?
Both.
Okay, cool.
It's really cool.
Do they live in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
Are you from Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like Seattle 10-year-olds?
Yeah, it's pretty... It's
what
like,
neighborhood?
Near Shoreline, but still in Seattle.
Yeah.
So like north.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, it all checks
out. I just feel like
there's
no way that like, because of the collective trauma of the earth, that no 10-year-old could be not insane.
Oh, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're literally like a fucking hit clip. Like, you are just data. It's surreal.
Yeah.
And then they have to, like, reckon with everything, but they know everything because there's no, like, you know, like, nothing's hidden anymore. Like, the veil has already been pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to reckon with that, and they're, like, just getting their periods.
I'm sure you're, like, hyper mature now as, like, a youth.
Because watching Euphoria. I was at work, and I was on my break upstairs in the mezzanine. I weighed tables, and this fucking... like batshit crazy woman that's problematic like comes in that I like summoned because it's like she literally like, represented everything that I despise. So she's like, hey, what's up? Like I literally summoned her because she was the last person on earth I wanted to see, but I was waiting her table and she's like coming up and she's touching my elbow. She wants to hang out, she wants to chat, and then she comes up the stairs while I'm on my break, wants to talk to me about the bad art that's on the walls, and she's engaging it with me in a way that I don't want to be engaged with. And I was like, hey, like I'm on my break, I don't really want to talk to you right now.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, are you a Scorpio? And I was like, 1A, literally, how dare you? But I am Scorpio rising, so I was like, okay, you're kind of right. But then I was also like, no, just because I have boundaries doesn't mean that I'm a certain sign. She's like, hey, well, what is your sign? I'm like, I'm a Sagittarius. She's like, you're a Sagittarius? You're not playful. You're no fun. I'm like, I am being completely misrepresented by this woman right now, and I would like to just eat my lentils in peace. People want to take, and they all they want to do is take and take.
This is your coworker?
No, this is a customer.
So
what?
Like,
what in what world?
This happens to me all the time. It's because I'm tall and have yellow hair.
Too close.
People want a piece, you know, because I'm like Big Bird, you know. It's like when you just like look up on the horizon and you see like the tallest thing.
Yeah.
There, you're glowing, very tall too.
Glowing,
right?
In the sun. How tall are you? I can imagine. 5'8". So
okay.
I thought
you were taller.
I have a tall sort of vibe.
Yeah. But I am taller than you.
Well, yeah. We always joke it's her bun.
It's
well,
the bun.
This adds, but this is say bye bye. This is the last bun.
You're cutting your hair.
I'm cutting my
What's
hair
the
tomorrow.
Oh,
speaking of Winona, actually,
okay,
kind of a Winona '90s.
And Beetlejuice.
Not
like very like not sharp quite. Bangs,
like stabbing bangs.
Yeah,
no,
it's like barbed quite. Wire.
Not quite. Okay. Like that. But
there were cute pictures you sent me. Who are they of?
Well, there's a really embarrassing one of Case too, which I don't want to talk about, but that was a hair inspo pic.
I mean, she has good hair.
Yeah.
She's like annoying.
Oh, that was the one that I was like, oh, hot. Like,
yeah,
that
Kristen
haircut.
Stewart definitely like, because it's always like, whenever you get a queer haircut, it really is like, I could look like Kristen Stewart, sick, or I could look like Halsey. And like, we don't want that.
Whoa.
So like, there you always run the risk of accidentally looking like Halsey, but you probably will land on Kristen Stewart.
It's like sort of asymmetric, but not like intensely.
The first time you've had short hair?
No.
Okay.
But the first time I've had short hair in a long time.
Got
she
it.
She usually gets like a kind of a news anchor bob.
Right. My hair's a bob.
Not, news not in a anchor. Bad way, like a blunt, cute, like.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a triangle, but like in a cute way where it's like.
How long is your hair now?
Because
well,
you have wavy hair, so it's cute.
Maybe
take
like,
your hair down.
Oh, I don't want to.
You don't
this
have to.
Bun took a while.
Like, I have a bob.
And I'm hot.
Did you look
yeah,
like this?
Yours is like a little bit longer than that.
But longer, yeah.
Got it.
So, but
keep mine short.
It's still going to be like long.
Okay.
Like shaggy short.
Where are you going to go get it? You should go get my friend to cut your hair.
Well,
hair
my friend
Liz.
Cuts my
she
hair.
Has a, yeah. Who's your friend?
Her name's Emily.
Okay.
She works at Sassoon, so it's kind of fancy,
okay,
and I don't
cool,
have to
cool.
pay for it.
God.
But I pay
ideal.
Her.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it, like, rules, because it's, like, a whole experience.
That's
you know?
Nice.
And I'm not, that's, like, never been my vibe hair-wise. Like, I'm, like, a once-a-year type of haircut
same.
Person.
Yeah.
And so.
I'm so low maintenance.
Are you like that, too, though? Like,
no!
I never get my hair cut.
I always get my hair cut.
Oh, really?
I'm in the hair. I mean, every 6 to 8 weeks, I'm blonde.
Whoa.
This doesn't
oh,
just happen
oh, yeah.
out of my head naturally.
Yeah.
You know, I wish, but also it's like, I mean, my moon's in Taurus. I have no.
Same.
Yeah. Where it's like, I love the finer things in life. I love getting my head scratched.
Oh, my
also,
God.
Also, my closest friend. One of my closest friends is a hairstylist.
Yeah.
So I can go and sit with Liz for, it takes 6 hours.
Yeah. Because you're getting it dyed.
Getting it dyed. And
I feel like if
cut.
You don't have that kind of relationship with your, who's doing your hair.
Oh, because I don't have $500
like
to spend every.
And it's also an energy suck. Like you're like, I don't want to be talking to you for 6 hours.
That's why I had to stop seeing someone because she was an energy vampire.
Yeah.
Well, very talented, but it was noxious.
It's
my
much.
Thing is like, I would get my hair cut more often because I have the connect, right? So
yeah.
I can go like have this like experience. But I get really like, I have like a social, I have anxiety. And so like in that space, it's
right.
like really nice to be in like this fancy like, I'm like, you know, whatever space.
Yeah.
But then when I actually get there and I'm like around the other people in there,
that's
I freak
out. That's
a really
good haircut.
But I think it's maybe not going to be quite that...
Not as short.
And you have a similar face shape. Mm-hmm. You have a similar face shape. I think it's going to suit you. Do you feel like you feel weird there because you're gay and you're getting a gay haircut?
Oh, no, I don't care about that.
Okay.
I just mean like, yeah, Cole Sprouse.
Cole Sprouse has great hair.
Yeah, he's kind
he's
of
pretty,
lesbianic.
He's kind of
a,
yeah,
it's kind of like a Leonardo DiCaprio lesbianic
yes.
energy.
Okay, that's another kind
of
hair.
You can bring a picture of Leonardo.
I
definitely.
Actually looked it up yesterday, and I was
oh,
like,
yeah.
Leo, 90s
and Romeo
long
plus
hair.
Juliet.
Yes, exactly.
No,
oh my God, you're so like.
He has like. Paper,
I'm so transparent.
Yeah, paper book hair where it's
but,
just like open up to any page.
Exactly. That's what I want.
Right
that's what
middle.
I want. Okay, but
yeah.
see, my problem is my hair is like wavy, curly, kind of like. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, his is very like thin and like precious.
But you'll figure it out. You can straighten
it'll
it.
It'll be good.
Want. Kristen well, Stewart's hair is kind of wavy.
I'm not going to straighten
true.
It. Yeah. That's work that I'm not going to put in.
What was your first time getting this kind of haircut?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It's good to try new things.
I am just so hot. Like,
it's
I cannot with the heat and my hair. It's too much. I haven't worn it down in like since it was slightly sunny once.
You know? You can't do it anymore.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Even though it's going to be like freezing in like 2 weeks.
But I can like less. Wear beanies or whatever. I don't know. I can put clothes on. I can't take hair off, except I'm about to. Oh, I did want to mention just real quick. My rising sign is Sagittarius, just to let you know.
I think Sagittarius rising is wild.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, what? Yeah, why?
I think that like, okay, so your rising is like the first opinion that someone might have of you. It's like, it's kind of like your like defense mechanism.
Party gal.
Yeah.
Party underscore gal.
Her dating profile used to be like party gal.
Yeah.
Party. Do you like to party? Underscore.
Is that why you have Miller High Life in the fridge?
Well, Miller High Life is the champagne of beers. Right. Hello. No, actually, okay. I don't want to explain the Miller High Life, but I will. A, it's my favorite beer. It's delicious. It's like so mine's refreshing. Coors
Banquet.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. That's surely not bad
for the
at
aesthetic,
all.
Because I feel like it's beige.
Yeah. It has like a really, it's like the brown kind of short, shorty bottle, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Those are cute. Yeah.
Good font.
But there's this drink that two separate people sent me, and they're like, this is very on brand for you. And it's a Miller High Life that you put a little Aperol and a little lemon into.
Whoa.
And I was like, okay, so I'm obviously going to try that because that sounds delish.
And what's the verdict?
I haven't tried it yet.
Well, what are we doing?
Oh, should we do it right now?
Yeah. Here's my actual rant for the record. It is PMDD. I have premenstrual dysphoric disorder. I'm sure a lot of people who have uteruses do. You're looking at me confused. You probably haven't. You don't even know, because women and people who have uteruses are understood to be, I mean, that's what a hysterectomy is. Hysteriaectomy. You're like, when you have hysterectomy, it's called that because it's like, oh, your uterus makes you hysterical. And my uterus does make me hysterical. And it like
wait,
is.
Wait, so can you describe what PMDD is? That's so why I was confused.
It's
I
like
don't know
my
what it
PMS
is
unlike normal PMS. Huh. It's like I get suicidal. I can't go to work. Yeah. I wake up crying. I'm crying for days at a time. I am like completely unhinged. I'm unable to complete the daily tasks that I have to do because my hormones are holding me hostage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then so, okay, that passes. Oh, then my period comes. My emotions feel fine. But then there's like a tiny warlock living inside of me who is just like sacrificing cats. I also, sort of another time, I did live with someone who used to sacrifice cats when I lived in Georgetown. And so it's just, but also it's
that's
like
a very Georgetown thing to do.
Very Georgetown thing to do. But then it's like, okay, well, how do you explain very that to managers who don't understand anything in the first place, where it's like, oh yeah, I have to take work off because of my period. Like, oh, but like we're just taught that that's a fake excuse. So then no one's going to believe it, and everyone just thinks that you're just saying that because you're being a lady.
Like, that doctors don't even really, like,
they don't
do
even
anything
know
about it,
so
right?
Now I'm on the pill, which is annoying, but also sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. Last month, it was so bad. I had to leave work because I was crying, and it's like, I'm fucking cool, and that's embarrassing. Like, I don't want to be the person crying at work. I'm, like, one of the only gay people on staff. Yeah. I really have a lot riding on my shoulders right now. I want to make sure that I can get through the day.
Yeah, you got to represent.
But I can't because I'm crying at work because I have PMDD.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like I actually haven't heard of PMDD. Have you?
Right. Why haven't you heard about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
we both get periods.
And I
feel, even if we didn't.
Right. Well, yeah. And
what's
and I
the
feel
other thing?
Like
the other like
PCOS.
Endometriosis.
Yeah, and now one. They have like commercials and stuff, but I literally just heard about that like
my aunt has had that for like 30 years or something.
Yeah.
Or, I mean,
and people are like, it's forever. Debilitating.
But it is debilitating. I have a friend, shout out Heather, who's in her early 40s, who just got diagnosed with PMDD at 42. And it's like, you know, living 4 decades of your life having to be held hostage by your hormones because doctors are like, oh, it must be everything else but this. It must be like everything else except for this organ that can literally move tides when you menstruate. But like, there's no way that it could possibly be that.
Yeah.
I hate doctors. But like, also rant, fuck doctors.
Hundreds of years.
They're like, not real. Yeah. It's like, I hate doctors.
Yeah.
Like a Western doctor for what? Why? So you can give me
to
a
tell me to lose weight
drug and tell me to lose weight
for
literally.
Everything. For literally anything.
Yeah. For literally anything. Yeah. It's like, oh, like your period hurts because you're fat. Like, did you try losing weight?
Yeah.
I went to a therapist for the first time a little while ago.
Congrats.
And she was like, I know, her name is Sonia Couch, by the way.
Ooh.
Isn't that just so perfect?
Couch. That's a good porn name.
Couch.
Ooh. Yeah.
As a therapist?
Oh my God. Come on. Wait, perfect. Wait, yeah. But now I want to see the porn of Sonia Couch, well, the therapist. Who,
yeah.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
But anyways, she was like, wow, doctor said that to you? That's pretty fucked up. I'm a therapist. I'm telling you that's wrong. And I was like,
oh my God, I love being validated.
I've never I was validated, but also I was like, wow, I didn't realize how fucked up it was at all.
Right, because why would you? I mean, now that you know, and now you can't look back, but it's like, yeah.
No, she was like, you as like a 10-year-old was told to like lose weight. That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Like,
completely. Yeah, that's disturbing.
Yeah, and yeah, I feel like every doctor, like at a certain age or something, I guess at 10 too, is like, when you go and you get a physical or whatever, they're like, yeah, nothing's wrong with you, but you should think about losing a little weight. Like, it's like always an add-on thing, right? It's okay. Like, literally, there's nothing wrong.
It's like a default.
Like, it's like setting. Your heart looks great, your cholesterol's great, blah, 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 whatever. Oh, yeah. All the blood work.
I was, like, healthy.
I was, of course you are.
It's like, there's, like, you know what I mean? Like, I do you can know what have you mean. Literally nothing going on with your body that indicates anything bad, like, as the sort of the foil to what you're talking about, but they're still like, but you should think about losing.
Okay, but, like, also, like, losing weight culture at the doctors is relatively new. Like, that was introduced in around, like, the 1980s when diet pills started coming on the market, where it's, like, anything that a doctor tells you like that, like, obviously doesn't come out of any sort of genuine care, because as anyone with any sort of, like, functioning critical consciousness knows that, like, either your weight on a scale has absolutely nothing to do with your health. Like, we all know that.
Right.
So, doctors started saying that in the 80s because they wanted to prescribe people diet pills. And like this, I don't know, what is it, like ephedrine?
Yeah.
They wanted to prescribe people ephedrine. So like, you should just start losing weight. It's like anything that they say is because they're making money off of you being addicted to pills.
BMI came from, right?
Oh yeah.
It came from big agro. Yeah. It came from the fucking agriculture.
Totally.
Wanting to fucking,
Explain.
The FDA, so like the whole concept of like BMI came from it came from government institutions, but like the FDA and working with like other like agencies came up with, you know, the pyramid.
It's another inside job.
The pyramid
job
has like fucking bread, like as
one of the.
No, but also like bread's at the bottom. It's like that's carbs and grain. But then, okay, I eat bread. You tell me that bread's bad for me. Like, what the fuck
do you want?
Think
about like how they use cereal and all that stuff.
It's to sell grains.
Literally all of that
it's all an inside job. That's what we're learning. That's what we're learning on this show.
Yeah, and then it's like so fucked up to see, like, I had a fat dad and now he's a skinny dad. And I'm like, RIP fat dad, you were way more fucking fun. And now it's like, well, what's the point? Because he's been on the Atkins diet since 2004. It's like the inside, it's like your blood is just grease, dude. That's fucking gross. Like, have a bagel. It's fine. He's like, no, I have to wake up every morning and have Jimmy Dean's sausage links so that I can be skinny. Healthy. I'm like, it's literally like you, and also.
Kind of his dad culture, though.
So I'm like, why are dads always eating eggs? Like, stop eating Denver omelets all the time. Like, just chill out.
I
think omelets are also like a libertarian breakfast choice. And if you're like getting an omelet, I don't trust you.
Like, if you're ordering an omelet at like a place, you're fucked up.
I also like, I rarely get breakfast out because breakfast is the easiest thing to make at home and I don't even cook, but I know how to make eggs.
Yeah.
It doesn't really make that much sense to me.
I kind of feel like personally, like, peppers in eggs is like
pretty gross. It's gross. Yeah,
it's pretty offensive to
me. I will say that Tiff does make a really good omelet, just like a plain omelet, like a French style.
That's literally
just the egg
bevoise or whatever, the
like creme fraiche or whatever. Aren't you supposed to put creme fraiche in it?
Yeah, I think so. Or like chives. Chives.
Or just chive, yeah.
And, like, but omelets. But it's like runny in the inside. It's really good.
Oh, that does sound good, actually.
It's not like a diner omelet where it's like fucking loaded with like orange cheddar and like ham slices of ham.
And all that stuff is good, but like away from the omelet. I love orange cheese. Don't get me wrong.
I love orange cheese. Yes. I love orange cheese. It's cheddar.
It's just
traditionally,
cheddar.
Traditionally cheddar, yeah.
Of course.
Love it.
Well, let's get into made Clara talk or look at the Little Women trailer because I really, really want to talk about Little Women. It's a topic that's very important to me. I don't know how much you guys will care about this, but like literally Little Women was like fundamental to me.
When did you first read it?
Okay, so I probably read Little Women when I was, I want to say 8.
Wow. Whoa. Okay. Like I thought you were going to be like, okay, that's young.
This is fundamental.
Yes.
It was like.
This is your origin story.
Yeah. It really is.
It was so important.
You were a little woman.
I read it around the same time as like Anne of Green Gables and Secret Garden was another one. Is it? Is any of, are you responding
Secret Garden, I respond to.
The movie. Yes. I didn't read it.
Did you watch the movie? The movie's good.
No. The movie's good. Oh my God.
I did not watch movies with humans in it until I was a teenager. Cool. I was not interested in seeing people. Animals exclusively.
Animals. Yeah.
Animals are like villains or like monsters.
Yeah.
Like Labyrinth. Yeah. Or Beetlejuice. But I never wanted to watch young children playing. Yeah.
But that's a similar. Okay, so I think these are similar veins. We were joking about Harry Potter, and I do think it's a similar thing where it's like an outsider or someone that has to fight against forces.
It's a classic archetype.
It's a classic hero archetype. I just responded to period pieces,
of course,
with a female oriented.
I love periods. Yes. I love period pieces.
Perfect.
Then that's Little Women.
Okay, good.
In a nutshell,
and it was here for you.
Yeah, so we have to talk about this trailer. Yes. So what did you think about the trailer? What was your first?
My first thought was, I do not know why anyone would see the movie. It didn't make sense to me plot-wise. It seems very dull. It seems boring. I don't know what country they're in. I don't.
You kept asking, is this America?
Because people were switching the accents on me, and I wanted a little bit of consistency.
Well, there's like an Irish girl. There's an English girl in it. What's happening here?
It's very loosely American. Is
Timothée American?
Yes.
He's Canadian.
God. Wait, really?
No, I made that up. I think he's Canadian. Why does it have two E's? It's a Quebecois spelling.
Is he French Canadian?
French.
I think he's French Canadian. The whole movie just seemed fake. Like it was just created. To make
spoiler
money.
Alert, it is fake.
Yeah, it just it's literally fake. Real. Is that the whole? Is that it? I don't know.
No. Little Women is based on the author. It's based on her real life with her growing up with her sisters.
Okay,
but
cute.
Like you know,
embellished,
exactly. Yeah,
yes.
But she had three sisters, so it's based on them growing up.
Of course. I mean, obviously, I want to like it because I like seeing four ladies in a room.
Yeah.
So it's like maybe it'll pass the Bechdel test. So that's a plus.
But it also might.
What if it doesn't?
That would probably be upsetting. It probably won't. Let's be real.
Well, so the whole story really centers on Joe. Okay, first of all,
Saoirse.
We all have to practice.
Saoirse.
You're just putting an extra twang on it.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
Perfect.
But it is Saoirse.
Saoirse.
Not Saoirse.
She was on SNL and she did a whole like.
I know. I still can't say it. That doesn't mean I can say it.
Saoirse.
But Joe. So can we just say it for a second? I mean, Joe. That's
gay.
A queer name, right?
It's gay.
It's J-O. Joe.
J-O.
Also, Joe from Facts of Life.
Very gay.
Right. So this is like a consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so
that's
Joe.
Canon.
Joe. He's canon. As they say. Joe, the main character, is a rebel.
Okay. Not like the other girls.
Not like the other girls.
She wants to play baseball. She doesn't want to play with dolls.
Yeah, she wears like kind of cool suits.
She has pants underneath her dress.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She doesn't want to get married.
She wants to be a writer.
Yeah, she wants to give herself an abortion just to say that she can do it. Yeah, she's different.
She's different. Okay. She's like
I get it. She's different.
Like Jane Eyre, where she rebels for a little while, but then she does end up getting married at the end.
Right?
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Also, it's like 1881.
Exactly.
It's like,
it still ends
up. Of course.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're not there yet.
There can't be an
ending. We can't even vote.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting married.
It's just delayed.
It's just delayed.
If we don't want to get thrown into a lake with rocks in our pockets, we have to get married.
It's just delayed for 10 years. Or right. 5 years. 5 years. Because they die at like 40, whatever.
Literally. Because they won't like wash their ass. That's what's so annoying. Where it's like everywhere else in the world, like, in like Asia and Africa, they like were living until their 80s
because
they literally washed their asses.
Yeah.
But Europeans and Americans, and it's like white people across history, were like, why do we keep dying at 2? It's like, because you won't fucking shower. You won't shower, Phil. Take a shower.
If anybody's interested, I do have a bidet upstairs. Just speaking of washing asses, just to
I'm gonna go on Instagram Live after this and go on your bidet.
Okay, cool.
Okay,
cool,
but
cool.
Walk me through how did you feel? Has there been a movie based off the book already?
Yes. So there was a movie
made for TV or
No, it was like a big hit.
Okay,
right.
In the '90s, it was a breakthrough role for Winona Ryder.
Incredible.
You might have heard
of
her.
One of my
obsessed.
Favorites.
I love her.
Yeah. Everybody loves her, right?
I love her. Scorpio icon.
Love her so much that I had the free Winona tea.
Heavy Scorp energy.
Yes.
One of the first items that I purchased on the internet
was
a free Winona t-shirt.
Whoa. Oh my God.
You're cooler than I thought.
Very cool. Okay, who else was in it? And she was Joe.
She was Joe. Yeah.
Who was Sisters?
And then Kirsten Dunst was famously the sick sister. There's a sick sister.
Is she younger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that
makes sense timeline wise.
Yeah. She was very young in it. And then. Okay. I think she did it after Interview with a Vampire because that was like her first movie or whatever.
Another very gay film.
Susan Sarandon is in it.
As a sister or mom?
No, as the mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Her age is so confusing to me.
There's someone else famous in it, but I cannot remember.
Okay.
Who. Yeah.
I saw it, but it was like so long ago.
In your memory, it's fallen. Just four girls sitting in a dark room.
Exactly.
And it's good.
With a candle, and you're like.
Frilly collars.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, it's Winona Ryder. I love this.
Yeah.
Like, you're like just happy.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because you're a little kid and you're like, oh.
You're excited to see the new one.
But the new one, I think, is like pretty interesting because, first of all, it's a Lady Bird reunion. Greta Gerwig directing. Plus Saoirse, plus Timothée.
Yes.
And then also Meryl and Laura Dern.
Yeah.
They really got the heavy hitters in this.
Yeah, yeah,
they want to make sure that everyone goes to see it with the family. It'll be what, PG, PG-13?
It is kind of bait for...
It's babies, right?
It's women bait, I guess.
Mommy bait.
It's geared towards millennial women. Like,
What's the rating? PG? Who sees it, children or adults? Both. You bring your kid?
I think I am literally the audience.
Okay.
Where it's like
how old are you?
A 28 to 30.
Got it. Who like remembers the first one?
Yeah. It's a nostalgia.
And has the nostalgia.
Well, it's for teens.
Okay.
But not kids. It's a little bit, it's like
is
a
there
little,
sex in it?
No, there's kissing. It's like
there's kissing.
There'll be a heavy kiss between
heavy petting.
Joe and Teddy.
Got it.
Teddy. Oh, you mean Timothy?
Yeah, his
meaning Lori. The character is Lori.
Yeah, but she calls him Teddy.
Oh, why?
That's like her nickname for him. I don't know.
Like the name Lori, also very gay.
Lori.
He's a Lori.
Okay, yeah. That's like who I was like in love. I mean, like, come on.
Who plays Lori in the 90s version?
Oh, I might have to look it up. It's Christian Bale, I think.
Oh, oh my God. Vile. Oh, that is horrifying.
Yeah.
I just felt very dry so quickly.
I wasn't hot for him in
of course.
The movie.
The books got you hard.
It was the book.
Is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so to wrap up Little Women, I'm excited. Maybe not everyone here is excited, but I am super excited to see this movie. So I'm going to be there on Christmas Day.
Good.
Maybe not. Whoa. But
you can be unwrapping your presents in the theater. Like, I got an electric toothbrush again. I got some coal.
To the theater.
Okay, what are we reviewing?
Okay, let's get into the main topic, which is stand-up. So we want to know, like, what's your stand-up origin story? Like, how did you get into it?
Yes.
I got into doing stand-up. I did improv in high school. So I always loved to perform. And I took acting classes and was in plays in high school. So I always knew that I liked to perform.
Where did you grow up?
In Highland Park, Illinois, suburb of Chicago.
Nice.
So like the North Shore.
Okay.
So big improv scene.
Big improv scene.
Yeah,
big
Chicago.
Improv. And like my
famously
acting teacher was this like very loosely boundaried gay man who every year would make his favorite students do the play that he wrote. Called I'm Stars Not Falling.
Of course.
Of course. And then we would tour it in the other suburbs of Illinois. And I got cast as a lead in it, but my senior year I couldn't be in any of the plays I was cast in because I got arrested for being drunk at school and tackling my vice principal.
Whoa.
I was
hardcore.
Very bad. Yeah. I was very bad.
I dropped out of theater in senior year too to smoke weed.
Yeah. You're like, I want to be tough. I want to be different.
I just want to like hang out with cool boys and smoke cigarettes.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I was like, loves to perform, loves to be on stage. I know I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
So natural progression was like, let's do an open mic. So I did my first open mic almost 4 years ago when I moved here to Seattle and I started.
What brought you here?
I followed my best friend Dylan.
Oh, cool. That's
moved
cute.
Here to study and get her master's degree in Chinese herbs and acupuncture.
Oh, cool.
Oh, at Bastyr?
Bastyr.
I knew
yes.
it. Yeah.
So I thought, it's empty. So I followed her and now I'm here. And
Very
I started
cool.
doing stand-up. I started doing stand-up at the Comedy Nest, which is still running. It's been a female-focused open mic in Seattle for almost 8 years. And now I'm a producer there. And I love stand-up very, very much. I'm always in, like, different ebbs and flows with how much I love stand-up. And sometimes I'm like, I fuck this. It's so frustrating. But my frustrations are never, like, I never feel like the art form is limitating me. I never feel that. It's usually kind of, like, more top-down forces of who gets to call the shots business. But to me, like, in its essence, I still think that stand-up comedy is something that I feel grateful for every day because it allows people to say whatever they want, which is also why it's really fucking scary. Because if you don't trust the person who's has the mic and has... It's also, like, with stand-up, there's kind of this, like, this overarching consent, right? Like, you go to a show and you're like, I have to listen to whatever these people are saying.
Yeah.
Which is also why, to me, it's so sacred. It's like, oh, these people trust me to bring them somewhere. And that means everything to me.
Well, I also think, like, just speaking on the idea of this sort of high-level consent of, you know, I'm going to this show or whatever, and so therefore I'm sort of at the mercy of whoever the performer is.
Right.
I think that's, like, why it's another reason why it's really important to have things like the Comedy Nest that are, like, female-centric or, you know, whatever, just, like, very specific. It's okay to, like, carve out your little niche in that way. Like, A, people need that platform that aren't being given it by this, like, larger sort of, like, top-down whatever patriarchal bullshit thing. But then also, like, as an audience member, it's like, I'm buying into something that I know is not gonna, like, hurt me.
Seriously.
You know?
And that's a really important transaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love stand-up comedy a lot. I feel like, especially right now, I'm, like, back in it where it's like, yeah, like, I'm funny and I go on stage and I have a purpose in my life and it's to move people and, like, work through my traumas and vulnerabilities in a way that it can be accessible to other people so we can all heal and learn. And sometimes I'm, like, big picture philosopher about it, like I am right now, but probably in 2 months I'll be like, fuck this shit, I can't get anywhere in this business because straight people don't want to laugh at me, because it really depends. It's like, last weekend I had a show Saturday where it was just a literally exclusively straight people and, like, boring kinds, not like the cool kinds who were like, whoa, like, let's watch Euphoria. It's like boring straight people who don't want to push themselves out of any sort of comfort zone that exists within their, like, 3-foot radius of their apartment.
So, and,
like,
most straight people.
Most straight people. And, like, I will tell my joke, and instead of laughing, they'll go, oh my God. Oh no. It's like, don't. It's like, ew. And then it's like, you get frustrated, you go home, you're like, okay, you're knocking my head against a wall.
Yeah.
Do I have to exist in a way where I can be more palatable to people who don't share my lived experiences? But then the day after, I do stand up in front of, like, a group of my peers, which is also more nerve-wracking. If I'm doing shows in front of people who I think are cool, hot, queer people, people whose opinions I really value, that's fucking scary. Because it's like, your validation means everything to me. It's like, you're my community. But then it's like, you crush. And then when you get someone laughing really hard, you have more time in your brain to think of more material because you're not trying to get it out in this way where you're like, oh, I just have to fill my time because I'm sweating profusely. So then it's like, so now I'm still kind of, like, riding that high of a few shows where I found I was able to, like, exist and not in a niche, like, in my purest form in front of people who I know really cared about me.
Well, like, okay, historically, the whole arc of a comedian was literally to, like, grow your audience more and more and more and more, get bigger and bigger and be more palatable, like, across all these different audiences. Yeah. And then eventually, like, the peak is like, oh, you get a show. Oh, you get, like, you're like Jerry Seinfeld, right? And I just wonder, like, do you think it's, like, I feel like it's a good, really good thing that, like, now with the internet and, like, people can have, like, more, like, bigger audiences, but it's like, it is like a sector. It's not like you're trying to be funny to literally
anyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. I feel like
that's... Oh my God, yeah. I think that's a really good point where it's like, now there's so many different examples of folks who have notoriety, fame, and success who aren't cruise ship comedians.
Yeah.
Like, you're able to, like, go even on Netflix and, like, relate to people who look and sound like you and, like, push you to think of outside of how you would think, you know? And I think that is really exciting. And that's also, even in Seattle, like, in our scene, it's just testaments to marginalized people who have made themselves more vulnerable in this art form to allow the people that are going to come behind them to have a little bit more ease.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think it's really important, not only as, again, like as a absorber of content or whatever, like from the audience point of view, it's important to be able to see yourself reflected in all types of media, whatever, right? But it's also important to have many very diverse points of view to be able to absorb as well and see that, duh, we're all like pretty much the fucking same.
That's
we're
the whole
all
point of comedy,
going
right?
through like the same shit in just like different ways, like someone else's family dynamics or whatever that are specific to a culture, for instance, still relate to whatever, you know, your normal ass white straight person family dynamics. It's just like a different, you know, like point of view on that same thing. You know, it's like the same thing. We're just looking at it from different angles.
Oh my God. Totally. Yeah. So it's like stand up rocks.
Yeah. Well, who are like, are there like big queer, like, like you said, cruise ship performer, like literally, like I thought of like Dane Cook, right? Obviously, like or like a stadium comic or whatever.
Charring.
Who are like some of the? Are there like bigger queer or like whoever comics that you just like love or that you like? Maybe you saw them like even in the last couple years or few years or whatever. That
I think my favorite comics right now are probably Janelle James. She's really funny and she's a Netflix special. She's also someone who she's been doing stand up for like decades, and watching her. I'm definitely less of a storyteller, so when I see comedians like her, like Beth Stelling, who like are genuine storytellers, where it's like they have crafted, they're just really good fucking writers. Yeah. Like they've crafted their lives so specifically to reach like genuine metaphor. Like Janelle James is amazing. Like listen to her album Black and Mild, it's so good. And then Lisa Traeger is probably one of my favorite comedians too, where her Netflix special is awesome, or she was kind of the first example of someone more mainstream who's gotten this like very specific platform of success where she was able to make like a room of men laugh at how disgusting and stupid they are. Mm. Where it's like, and she's also like fat and like from Chicago and she's queer and like she... And like her, she has so much confidence and she's never self-deprecating, but still because she has been doing it for so long that she knows that she can get these men to trust themselves, to laugh at themselves and like talk about how they like can't make women come. I was like, oh my God, like she's like God tier analysis. Truly. Yeah. She's fucking awesome. Mm. Those are probably two of my favorite comedians right now. Mm. And then I really love Elle Sanchez too, who's local.
Oh yeah.
They're amazing and so funny. They live in Olympia now.
Wait, we saw them at that thing that we went to at the Highline. They were one of the comics there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was like
maybe
a,
kind of like a shaved
a
head. Yeah, it was like a femme
centric
thing. Yeah, we've seen them and they're really funny.
Yeah, they're the coolest.
Like, instead of trying to change your material to fit the audience, you should sort of like shove your material down their throats until all audiences appreciate your material.
Right.
And like it comes with confidence and it comes with, especially if you're doing like a 20-minute set, a 30-minute set, with knowing how to best like build those peaks and those bridges that you will like be the most accessible. Because I'm always like going back and forth. Like I was lucky enough to be able to go to Springfield, Missouri to open up for my friend and local comedian who's extremely funny, Derek Sheen, at the Blue Room Comedy Club in Springfield. And that was fucking scary. It's like everyone in the audience for the most part was straight, but like Derek thinks I'm funny and trusted me. He's like, hey, let's go. Like, you're going to feature at a club out of town for the first time. And that was definitely an example of like, if I trust myself, they'll go there with me.
Yeah.
It's like, also, it's like, it's something that I feel like lots of comics who are not cishet white men struggle with, where it's like, don't think that they're stupid. It's like, you know, like, don't doubt them. Don't be like, oh, I'm in Missouri, a bunch of fucking rednecks. Like, that's classist.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, these people are coming because they do want to learn. They're coming to laugh and they are coming to learn. That's why they're coming to see stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I really like listening to Nicole Byer talk about how her stand-up shows go.
Yeah.
She has, like, such absolutely. Good, like, she's always getting hassled and, like, dealing with, like, heckled, she tours everywhere. She tours, like, a, like...
Which I think is really cool. And I think it's such like a testament to her too. And definitely like a massive goal of mine is like, I do want to tour. And like my goal is to be like a working comedian on the road. Like I want to exist in those spaces with people. And especially after doing that, there was this one night, I have this joke about when I did porn for the first time, and this guy, this like big dude, just kept like heckling me on stage and interrupting me, but where I would say something and he would go, oh yeah, or like, oh, that's right, or like meow. But then it's like knowing I can trust myself to just like decimate him in front of everyone and like call him like a human monster truck and just like know that like the audience was annoyed with him too, and then like have them back on my side, and then having like women and queer people be like, I've never seen comedy like that before, like come back to Missouri. It's just like, if you can never like judge an audience, like you have to trust that they have your best intention because you have theirs in mind too.
I think the audience is always rooting for the person on stage, I think,
for the most part. And sometimes they're not, but for the most part.
And like, and that push and pull is really interesting between like who's performing and how the audience reacts. Like that's truly the most interesting part of stand-up to me, because like it's not like you are an improv performer, but it's not improv where you're just, the audience is just like watching and laughing.
A lot of stand-ups are not improv performers. I think that like, I feel like I am, but I know people who are not, who definitely are like, I stick to my script.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm a writer. I know that it's going to work.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm a good writer, but I'm a performer first.
There's like a type of stand-up who's just like really, really good at jokes and like punchlines and a very like tight like that.
Like another
Elle Sanchez. And then there's like a loose like.
When I interviewed them for my podcast, Hot Takes with Hot Dykes, Val and I were like, well, what do you do when you're bombing? And like their advice is something that I still do now when I am bombing or when I feel like they're not connecting. They're like, when you're bombing, get rid of your material and like talk about your day. They're like, that's when you do crowd work, and you need to remind yourself that you're living in this space that's unfolding as you're speaking. Mm-hmm. That you can't go on your script that once worked because it no longer is. So you have to take stock of your present moment and ask the person in the front row where they got their shirt, ask them where they work, and then like remind yourself that you are funny, because like you'll riff and you'll find something and then you can have the confidence to get back into it. I was at the Underground a month ago and I was bombing so hard and they fucking hated me, and there was this like woo boy in the audience where after every joke I did, he would do rock and roll hands and then raise his rock and roll arm in the air and go whoo, and then I would tell a joke and it wouldn't land, then he would go whoo, and I was like, you're mocking me. So it's just like, make fun of him, ask if they like the chicken tenders, and eventually
like at that point it doesn't give, you don't care, like it's like whatever,
exactly, because it's also like whatever, like I'm bombing but I won't tomorrow, so let's like try to get through it and have fun so that I don't feel like I'm drowning and have like the devil choking me, because that's what it feels like, where it's like, I've never been this
I
sweaty.
Love how on like Maisel have you watched Marvel?
No, I would, I just don't watch a lot of TV.
So like her, like
I went to high school with her, which is also why it's hard.
Oh my god,
it's honestly hard, because I'm like, no offense, I went to high school with you.
Wow.
Yeah, because no, she's David Spade's niece.
So
she's like old money, Hollywood. Yeah,
holy,
know
shit.
Somebody
Rachel
in this business.
Brosnahan.
I think it's kind of weird that she's playing a Jewish person.
Oh, are you Jewish?
No, I just like.
Is she not Jewish?
No.
Okay,
but she's not. Oh
no.
Hmm.
But anyway.
Agreed.
So like, so but
it's annoying that she's from Highland Park, Illinois.
I love that. That's so amazing. No, her like entryway, like the way that she like got into it or like over it or whatever, and like got on stage, was that she was wasted. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really funny thing of like, oh, you have to like, I don't know. It's like she was like not even almost like not consensual about like being a performer. Like I'm always
hard.
I know it's really hard, but it's just like a funny thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have to care, not care so much.
I mean, I get
it's
that.
True.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I would have to be wasted to be on stage. Maybe not wasted, but
a little loose.
Well,
when I first started, I was so nervous. I like would literally have to not go to work because I was like had diarrhea the whole day. There's nothing that I care more about in this world than being funny.
Yeah.
It's the only thing that I care about. It's like being as funny as possible at any given moment. And because that's now my passion and what will one day be my sole career, it's like, even when I first started, I was like, yeah, I fucking care about this. So I take my friends' dogs' beta blockers, which is what maestros take to like steady their hands when they go and conduct at the Philharmonic, because I was so nervous I couldn't even get my words out. But now, obviously, it just becomes muscle memory.
Yeah.
I still totally get nervous for lots of shows, but I also am like completely sober. Like, I'll have this Miller High Life because my show is until 9, but I will not have any alcohol nor substance before I go on stage. Can't do it. Yeah. Because I'm not as funny.
Yeah. But you did perform. You performed in high school. So, I mean, and I remember, like, so I did theater. Did you ever do, like, you know, the theater festivals? Like, did you ever do those? You said you toured around, like, in your
area. We went to the Illinois State Theater Festival.
Did you ever go to the Lincoln one?
No. Where are you from?
From here, from north of the city, but one time we went to Lincoln, Nebraska to a
festival.
It was really fun, yeah.
Yeah, like, our improv troupe was really muggy, and I
started my period while we were there for the first time. And my friend who was in the musical with had to tell me that I had blood all over
my god, that is
really it was actually pretty traumatic.
That everyone's like, oh my god, Playback is coming. Where the concept of our improv troupe was called Playback, so someone from the audience comes and tells a story about their life, and then casts the kids as the people who are in the story, then we play it back for them in an artistic and improvised way.
That's so fun.
So everyone was like, oh shit, they're coming. And then
the name of you
was called Playback. And so you have to have someone cast that can be has mommy energy, papa energy, right. You know, like lead girl energy. So I was always cast as like wacky aunt, someone who makes something go awry.
Yeah.
You know, I'm cast as like the wild card catalyst. So right. That I was never cast as like someone's mom.
Right.
They'd be like, that's not you.
Yeah.
And I was usually never cast as the person who's telling the story. But I'm cast as like the postman who like stole someone's dog.
Yeah.
I'm cast as like the Vietnam War veteran who has like a PTSD episode inside of a Trader Joe's. Whoa. I was like, I'm 17 and I just watched Apocalypse Now. I am very ready for this responsibility. Yeah.
The theater director felt that energy.
Yeah.
They were like, you can like.
I wonder where he is now. It's weird because now like people that I went to high school with are like in LA to be actors.
Like a lot of them?
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, like I went to like a weird fame public high school where all the football players were like in the musicals.
Mm. Interesting.
It's backwards. Oh. I'm like, nobody got bullied and that's why like.
Was it like really small or something?
What'd you say?
Was it like really small?
No, it was really big.
Oh.
There was like 2,000 people.
There's just a lot of performer. Like, it's like a performer area. Huh, weird.
Yeah.
Is it because it's outside of Chicago?
Like, I think so.
Right by Chicago. So there's like a lot of people from the industry.
Yeah, and it was like a more affluent neighborhood. So it's like the taxes.
Do you feel like you have to move to LA? Or like that you're.
Yeah, I have moved to LA or New York. Because it's like, I want this to be my whole life. And that's kind of what I'm reckoning with now. Like, I love Seattle so much and thinking about leaving my friends and my community here is jarring, to say the least. Right. But yeah, you have to take that leap.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is scary, but life is scary, so whatever.
What do you feel about, like, okay, I want to get into just a little bit of, like, the history of stand-up because it's, like, historically so toxic and horrible. And, like, I'm curious, like, did that, like, freak you out, or like did you have run-ins of that where it made you like not want to do it? Because I just know, like, when I first went to shows in Seattle, I was like, every performer is like a straight dude, you know, with or without a beard, and they're like obviously a dick or whatever, and that was it. And even listening to stand-up growing up, like the first stand-up that I really really loved was David Cross, who like at that time was like politically, well, I don't know if I would use the word progressive, but like whatever, he was like alternative because he like hated George Bush or whatever.
Right.
But like now I'm like, oh, he's like problematic, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So how do you feel about that? Like, do you run into that? Or do you have a hard time when you're like performing?
Not to be like devil's advocate or be defensive, but like so is every art form. Mm. But I think that if you look at like a fucking Pablo Picasso painting,
it's like
if we compare like Pablo Picasso and like George Carlin, you know what I mean? Where it's like they're both like entities because they both represented like two people creating in a way that had never been created to this like extent of fame before.
Right.
But it's like no one necessarily thinks about, you know, fine art or painting being creative when they walk into MoMA, because it's not an expectation that we're knowing every minute detail about the fine artist when we see their painting. But also, like, you know, like Hannah Gadsby said in freaking Nanette, which is, you know, it's like he was also a fucking like rapist and a pedophile.
Yeah. Right.
So then I don't ever want to be defensive, but I'm like, every art form in this world is understood historically and is problematic because it has been overrun and introduced by cishet white men.
Right.
So
right.
It exists on keeping their privilege safe to them, yeah, and removing opportunities from marginalized people. Right. So yeah, that does exist in stand-up thoroughly. And I have so many friends right now who I love so much who I met doing stand-up who can't do it anymore. Because they're like, where do I go from here? How do I did an open mic on Wednesday where the guy, it's like, yeah, you have to go to open mics to work on your material or like to do open mics by people who produce shows to get like more opportunities. And the guy before me, verbatim, first thing out of his mouth was, I'm going to assault the audience. Ugh. Like that takes an existential toll. It's fucking hard. And then like, unlike sculpture or even like filmmaking, what you're doing, all of it, having to witness and be privy to the free processes of people you don't know.
Right.
And that's why I think stand-up comedy is
It's still made from the male gaze and through the male perspective. Yeah, and that's why it is
the hardest art but form is for like marginalized people more, to continue to do.
Right.
Because for you to do it, you do not get to consent as to who you do it with.
Yeah.
And that's why it's fucking hard. So yeah, I think about that all the time. But I do believe that like, we set a precedent every day by continuing to do things like in the face of adversity and things that are challenging.
Yeah.
But I completely understand why people have to drop out of the race and be like, I have to find a new way to expend myself artistically, because having to like put my sanity on the line like night after night for scraps and chips isn't cutting it anymore.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard. But I think it's also like the podcast really helps me with that, because I have this other artistic vessel that I create with like the love of my life in this like safe echo chamber where it's just us two. Mm-hmm. And we can process and talk about things without feeling fear from what men are going to say at any given point.
Yeah.
And there's also open mics like the one that I'm going to tonight that Val, Alyssa, and Monisa run that's only queer, trans, or PRC performers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and it's a hate-free room or like the Comedy Nest where it's like, luckily I was able to start in a community that had already started the processes of like weeding out abusive people.
Yeah. It's so important to continue to create those spaces. So anyone who's like working to, it's pretty inspirational to.
Well, then also it's like, I did my first 30 minutes in March or in May. Yeah. April, sometime in the spring. And I had like a bunch of friends come, and for a lot of my friends, it was the first time they had ever gone to see stand-up comedy, period.
Oh.
Because they were like, why would I go to something where I think I'm going to get offended or harassed?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Or someone's going to do crowd work and they're going to pick on me because I look a certain way.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And it's like, that to me is the most heartbreaking part about it. Because what to me is this like infinite, inspired art form for so many other people, rightfully so, holds like immense fear for trauma.
Yeah.
Right.
So I get it.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, the number one like comedy podcast is still Joe Rogan. But
Fucking Cumtown or fucking Chapo Trap House.
Right.
Or all these like disgusting like capital L leftist white cis men who think it's funny to make their Twitter handles like Jeffrey Epstein's Stan account. It's like it's disgusting.
Right. Hmm. But then there is this really cool aspect of now today there is room for community and like absolutely. For like
it exists
it's
does
just,
exist
you just have to kind of like
find it
but that's also like being queer in general.
Yeah.
You know, so that's like part of like the hunt and the search that I've been acclimated to and used to my entire life from just being a gay person.
Right.
Community still, even in Seattle, doesn't exist on the surface.
Yeah.
You can go to Capitol Hill and the streets are painted rainbow, but like, what the fuck does that mean? You know Nothing. What I mean? I still can't afford to live here.
Yeah.
So it's real. But I like, I love stand up right now. Talk to me in 2 months. We'll see where I'm at. But right now I love it. Right now I'm like, this is something that I also feel like stand-up is really cool because the bar to entry is $0. All you need to do is just to be alive, which is why you get more like bananas people. But you also, it's not like improv. You have to take classes.
Right.
You have to pay, or you have to buy an easel. You have to buy clay.
Yeah.
All like, that's why I started doing stand-up, because I don't have any money. Mm-hmm. All I have to be is present and like have a pen and a paper, and you can go and you can like create an experience for someone. I also feel like everyone should do stand-up. I'm not like an elitist. I'm like, just do it. And if you're not funny, it's fine. We need more non-funny women doing stand-up. I'm like, I'd rather...
like even the playing field.
Yeah. Like, I would rather... It's like... I like, if you're like a non-funny man, you're probably offensive.
That's
if you're a non-funny woman, you're probably just boring.
Yeah. That's the thing that pisses me off when people say like, oh, women like aren't... I don't know any funny like female comedians. And it's like... Well, there are like a billion unfunny male comedians literally in the world, and they're all like, they're all famous and they all make money at it.
So what like, are you saying? Like, I agree with you.
Yeah, and I still can't believe people say that. Like, there are people that like say that all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know those people because I don't talk to men.
Yeah, same, right?
I don't know any jealousy men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to work with all of them.
I know gay men, but...
I know gay men.
I don't know straight men.
Do not know a single one.
Literally.
And
like,
when they talk to me, they all sound the same and I can't tell them apart.
Yeah, it's like the Charlie Brown teacher just wah, wah. Yeah. I literally, I'm like, sorry.
I do not know what you're saying.
It's not actually like...
Nothing is clicking.
Yeah.
I agree. Sorry.
Well, that's sorry how they treat women all the time.
So. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so only fair to be like...
Yeah, exactly.
React that way. I should actually care much less about my interactions with them because...
Yeah, you should.
Well... I know, but I'm trained to literally want to like please.
Yeah,
we're so all, it's like I can't turn it off. Like
we're
I'm like,
all trained to do that.
I know
it's a lot to unlearn.
I have to
I get
untrain
it
myself.
Yeah, starts with dad, and then we go from there. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't listened to my dad in years.
Congrats, you're one step ahead of the game.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. It helps that he never calls.
Yeah.
Oh, can you talk a little bit more about your show, your podcast?
Yeah. So my podcast is called Hot Takes with Hot Dykes. It's I love saying it very slowly and specifically with lots of intonation on every word, because sometimes I say it and people are like hot types with hot dads. I'm like, you didn't listen because you aren't a gay millennial and that's a you problem.
Sorry, I'll let you finish and then I have a question.
Okay, word. So we started doing it. It'll be 2 years in November, and we started because Hollow Earth Radio in the Central District went from being just online to being on the FM dial. Mm-hmm. So they had a surge of programming and they wanted new programs to be on the show. And we were like, perfect. So we wrote like a college essay about why we deserve to be on the radio. And then they're like, go have a show. And it's my favorite thing to do in the entire world. We do it every other week. It's 2 hours. Sometimes we have interviews. Sometimes it's just us two. We're recording on Monday, like in 4 days, and that episode is going to be about the history of tops and bottoms.
Oh yeah, I saw your Instagram.
So that's going to be really fun. So we like, it's definitely always queer slanted, but that also doesn't really mean anything because we're gay, so everything we say is queer slanted, you know what I mean? But it's just like, we love having an opportunity to look at like one kind of ego perspective topic, like jealousy or like sensitivity, and finding like its sociological core, and that's our main body. And then we like this show, we rant about something that pissed us off that week, and then we also try to find something positive about that week, and then we end it with a queer history segment.
Positivity, that's
it. Does feel like our collective trauma we all have to vent all the time.
Yeah, like, definitely,
we just all need like outlets.
Yeah, I understand that. And like, but my, it's like I am the same way, but in order to like balance that, we're like, what's something that we can celebrate?
Yeah
that's smart. We should do more of that.
Yeah,
that well, makes a lot of sense. Women.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah, I celebrate every single.
I celebrate Meryl one in a frilly,
in a bonnet,
petticoat.
Well, and very also cute. Her hair is a very, it's an interest. It's a new style for her, which I'm into exploring.
She's in that movie. She's just like a rich old bitch.
Ooh, that's where she thrives.
I was literally about to say that exactly.
That's where she really finds her stride.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I was going to ask you, like, when you're talking about the name Hot Takes.
Yes.
With Hot Dykes?
Yes.
So, like, how do you feel about, like, obviously you like the word dyke.
Yeah.
Because you're using it.
Right.
I like it also.
Cool.
But like, how do you feel about other people using it?
I don't care.
Oh,
okay. Oh, but go ahead. For instance.
Well, for instance, just like, I guess it's like in using saying the title of your show. It's like you have to. That's why I like it.
Because I like making straight people feel uncomfortable.
I see.
And I like forcing heteronormativity to use a word that I feel good using that makes them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
I think it's fun to like subvert that and force straight people to say something that they don't think that they should say.
Well, it's on your terms.
Exactly. Right, and also like dyke is a word and that, you know, speaking just about that word can exist and it's not censored. There's less of like a violent undertone to the word that it's kind of like queer, you know, where it's like, is still used as a slur, just like queer is, it's definitely in the period where it is being reclaimed and can be said by other people who aren't necessarily dykes.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes, like maybe it's really highly situational, but sometimes like I've had multiple interactions with this where like I had a straight female friend who like, I didn't like me saying the word dyke.
That's her problem.
And I was like,
that's her problem.
Exactly.
It's like, can you make your straight sensitivity go somewhere else? Like, don't say that to people.
I was like, literally, it's my word to say. Like, I don't need to.
You're annoying.
I don't need to know what your ears
don't like. Yeah, that's really funny.
Okay, but then also I have another friend who's also a straight woman.
You have too many straight friends is all I'm getting from this conversation.
Maybe that's the issue.
I have no straight friends. Anyone who has once been straight when we were friends is now no longer. It's like a reverse conversion. I mean,
I'm pretty sure
therapy.
I'm like on a path.
You're on like, a path.
You're not on a path.
I don't know.
Oh my God, she wants to be on
the path. Every day I think more and more that I'm done with men.
You can be. It is a choice.
Well, I'm cis men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just choose gay.
Yeah.
You don't think it's a choice?
I mean,
I literally think I would be happier if I was like, I think you, someone queer.
I think
like,
you could choose.
Yeah.
Straight
choose
cis,
love.
Straight cis men are so toxic.
They're like, literally toxicity.
Like they're literally the worst.
Yeah.
Like,
it's horrible.
Of all
At least
society.
A queer man.
Yeah.
Well, that's what bisexual. I'm saying. Yeah. Are you the one?
Yeah.
Find someone from the show, Are You the One?
Yeah.
To become
your
one.
Here's the thing. I don't really think, I think gender and sexuality are all on a spectrum, so I really don't.
I hope your partner doesn't hear this episode.
Do you have a partner?
Yeah, and I say partner
loosely.
Uh-huh.
You have a boyfriend.
Yes.
Mm. He's listening. What's his name?
No, he doesn't
He's
listen.
Not listening, which is kind of rude, but neither does Tiff.
Well, he's
which
rude.
Is also
he's a rude,
rude
person. He's a straight cis man.
I know. They're literally monstrosities.
I kind of have a baby daddy, but I don't really like that phrase
that,
that's, but he's literally your baby's daddy.
Yeah,
do you have a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, cute. How old?
He's so cute.
I need pics after
he's
this.
Honestly
I love
one of the
children.
Cutest children
I love kids
so basically,
ever seen.
I mean, I have my kids, so my dream is to now that now I'll like go
you're like you're like thank you you provided,
thank you, you provided me with my
and goodbye.
Yeah,
totally.
Now I can actually be happy.
You're done now. Yes, that was all I needed.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Anyway. I guess, okay, so anyway, my other side of the spectrum was just that I have another friend who unfortunately is straight. Sorry. Well, I guess you're on a path now. But
I love the path.
Who, like,
I love
freely,
you that you're like
oh, I am. No, I am fully supportive of the path. I'm just like, she's on a path. I'm like, yeah. If you're really on the path.
Oh, it's that thing. I mean, like, the thing of like.
Don't like say you're on a path if you're
really
not on a path.
A girl. Is that the rule? Like, if you really
there's no rules. I definitely think it's like, that's like neither here nor there. But I definitely get frustrated with any sort of like queer gatekeeping.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to do the other thing.
So the other thing is, like, I get really frustrated with people being like, oh, man, I'm so done with men. Like, I'm like totally going to like eat a bunch of
pussy. I understand
now.
That.
And I'm like,
I
no,
understand
you're not.
It. Yeah.
Fuck you.
But it's like, not- I think in history at this moment in society, literally there are thousands and thousands and thousands of straight women who are like, wait, what are we all doing?
And
like,
that's the thing. Where it's like, at the end of the day, I agree
And why
with
are
you.
We in this, like...
At the end of box. The day, all I want to do through my show, through my comedy, through my life, is show everyone that there's another way. And that's women and men and in between, where it's like, you actually, like, You don't have to be straight. You
There's
don't,
not
you,
those rules.
You don't have to do it. No. So it's like when
there
it's
really
so obviously
are no rules, which
like,
is
I troubling definitely
for some
like
of us.
Get you know frustrated with a little you know someone being like I'm all done with men. It's like okay, well then prove it. Like go on a date with a woman yeah. where it's like also like reckon with your internalized lesphobia
yes.
and your internalized homophobia by you yes. being like oh I would want to be a lesbian but it's too complicated. I'd want to be yeah. a lesbian but there's too many feelings. Like
or
being
like
frustrated,
I could never have sex with a woman though.
Yeah. I could
what
never like
mean?
Eat someone
right,
now.
I would never say that.
But that's yeah, all
no,
like
I'm
actual.
Not, no one's talking about you
that's like blatant lesphobia for yeah. sure. But whenever someone gives me a little like inkling that they might want to go from hetero to pansexual, I'm like,
yeah.
let's just like give you some space yeah. waiting yeah. in these like cool.
Jump in the pan. It's
exactly.
hot, baby.
Yeah.
Sizzling. No, I think anytime
wait,
anyone's
Allison,
obsessed
I
with like,
tell
parts,
you.
Right? It's like, that's
stop.
Like, don't do that.
No,
don't be obsessed with
don't
parts
be obsessed
culture.
With
which, like, that's- I have been guilty of, you know, speaking about like penises and things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've definitely been like, ew, whatever. I mean, I've
you don't, but you don't use
been
a strap
around
on.
Them. Oh yeah,
but that's a penis.
Well, I no, I'm saying I've evolved.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Great.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like
we
early baby gay era.
Totally. Well,
like,
it just comes out of scarcity.
Yeah.
And it just comes out of wanting to like claim your territory and your space
yes.
and have these words mean something to you, which is also why. Like within my non-binary identity, and I do identify as pansexual. It's mm-hmm. like I can be a pansexual lesbian, a pansexual dyke, a non-binary dyke, a non-binary
yeah.
lesbian.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there are no definitions
right.
outside of the ones that we draw from ourselves, as long as we're being
right.
conscientious and abundant and anti-imperialist.
Whoa. Oof. I got chills literally.
I know.
Yeah. That's really all I would like to say to the listeners
Whoa.
At home.
I think that's
I literally have chills. But I do want to end with
okay.
Allison, if you're on a path.
Come Allison,
on,
get
come
on the
over,
path.
Baby.
Keep
come
walking.
On over. Come
it's
on over,
fun.
Baby. I am so supportive. I will put my coat across the puddle for you.
Seriously.
To get down this path. You know what I mean? But, you know, we'll see.
Yes. Well, sure.
You know.
Don't hold your breath, but hold your breath.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't trust people. Part of my Capricorn nature.
The
so.
Patriarchy
yeah.
is strong.
I
yeah.
know. It is strong. And that's really sad. But I believe in you. And maybe there is a good man.
Here's the thing. I think that.
Maybe. We've never met one. But
I've never met one, but maybe.
I just think that, like, basically. The whole world is too obsessed with gender and like
yes.
sexual. And I'm just like, I'm
yeah.
done with it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, no
yeah.
more. Like,
yeah.
I don't, I'm every time I hear anyone say something that's like very gendered, I'm like,
right.
No.
Especially like really unnecessarily gendered stuff. I'm just like,
yeah.
Why is this always happening? Like, once you sort of like tune your little
yeah.
tweeters
yeah.
to that.
No, yeah. Well, it's unlocked. In
yeah.
You.
It really unlocks a
like,
lot. Yeah. For
yeah.
sure.
It's exciting.
But then it like makes it hard to like go into the world because it's like,
it's
oh, I have my like cool little like fucking, you
oh
know,
my God, yeah.
space and
oh,
then
yeah.
and like my headspace as well as my space. And then I go into the world and I'm like, oh, yeah, everything's fucking terrible.
Right.
Like all the time, everywhere. Like everything is so entrenched and so like
yeah.
locked up in this like fucked up old way.
Right.
Like, how
but
do
also, like,
we approach this? How do we break through?
But I also feel like, you know, the friendships that you have and the community that you have that doesn't exist in those hierarchical spaces, like,
yeah.
is also in the real world. So it's also about, like, redrawing
That's
the
true.
Definitions of what our real world is. Because to me, like, my queer friendships, my community, my comedy shows, my parties, that my love, like that is my real world.
Yes.
That all of like your shit, like that's fake. That's AI. Like that is just like demonic. That is something that's ancient. It's outdated. It has an expiration date. But like what we're doing, like this is real. So I think it's also like unbrainwashing ourselves from how we define reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like reality is our queerness. And like
right.
reality is us like drinking Aperol in this little Miller High Life. Like what they're doing has like massive repercussions, but it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's not real.
I just want to say that your bit about doing psychedelics, was it about acid?
Yeah.
Made me
that
really want to do acid.
It's awesome.
And I've done psychedelics, but I've never done acid.
You've done shrooms?
I've done shrooms.
Love shrooms.
I've done like a couple other, I can't, I don't
like,
know,
like
DMT or whatever.
Yeah,
like
research chemical.
Whatever.
Wait, you did
B12?
Yeah. Yeah, my friends when I was in high school. Oof. I grew up in Everett, Washington. Okay. There's love like Everett. Nothing to do.
Hotbed
like,
of yes. psychedelic hotbed activity. Hotbed of
drinking totally. Robitussin to have
oh.
fun.
Oh my God, robo tripping. Oh, it's yeah. great. Do acid. It's yeah. a great time.
Anyways, it made me like, yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I need a little breather.
Little woo woo. Yeah, it's fun. Just dust off the cobwebs. Walk around Discovery right? Park.
Exactly.
It's good.
Might surprise everyone in this room to know that I've never done psychedelics.
At all?
No.
Wow.
She doesn't like to lose control.
Well. But you don't.
But I don't like the idea, even just approaching the and concept.
Maybe if you did, there'd be no going back.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Really unlock. Speaking of unlocking.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Who you're knows? Who knows same. What's locked inside?
Mm. You probably know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe it's even hidden to yourself. Who knows? Well, there's no right way to live this life. I just like to live my life the way I live it. Mm. But you don't have to do psychedelics. No one has to do anything.
I just remember having a feeling of like, okay, I don't need to do that anymore. Like yeah. at a certain point I was like, I really love.
That's kind of like, how I felt about weed.
Mushrooms are totally really amazing though. Like
yeah, yeah they're fun. It's so intense. Fun. You're a Pisces. Probably love to get a little freaky.
She likes she likes that
yeah.
flip flop and but swishing
I
around.
But I have a Taurus moon, so I'm a little
yeah, yeah. grounded. Grounded.
Especially now that I'm older, I'm like I am very like disappointed.
I think that's things. What it is too. I just don't have the energy to like process, you know, yeah, through these like things that are I'm gonna unlock in myself mm-hmm. or whatever. It's like
oh, that's the
great.
Only thing I have time for. The only thing I have time
How do you feel about tech bros microdosing?
I think that's really interesting.
Oh my God, how do we talk about microdosing every single episode?
I actually think that's a really like adept and like heinous concept that I think about really often because obviously like psychedelia is not the only way to understand like life's hidden mysteries, capital H, capital M. But what to me is so like frustrating and sad is when people with the most like access to wealth and resources and capital like tech bros get so like bored and disappointed with their own like sterile existences that they're looking for any way to both like have their cake and eat it too.
Oh yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. It's just like Joe Rogan. Like I don't understand how Joe Rogan can do DMT every day where you literally have a consistent ego death and still be transphobic. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
How do you take drugs where their main purpose is for you to understand that we're all interconnected and you're still gonna be hateful? To me, that kind of shows that like, you know, we're like the dogmas that we're all subscribing to. Some people are like addicted to dogma and they're like addicted. It's like
yeah
I mean like fuck your ideology yeah. like if you don't agree with me like fuck what I'm saying like yeah. fuck what anyone says it doesn't matter like when like ideology becomes scripture where it's like Joe Rogan can be like I can understand that like I create my universe for myself every day and the path that I walk on is just my present moment that breathes into the next but still be like fuck trans women. I'm like yeah. how? Yeah. How yeah. are you both?
It made much more sense when you found out that Elon Musk had literally never smoked weed.
Right.
You're like okay.
No, yeah. Like, yes. That does that tracks. But then you learn that like fucking like Ted Nugent smoking weed. It's like how?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand. Like is it anything being yeah. unlocked?
Yeah.
Or but also it's like I mean, people have such like scarcity. They want to dig their heels into what's gotten them this far. And so, you know, reckoning with what structures might actually be false. Like, oh, that's a little bit too far. I know yeah. it's weird. Tech bros microdosing. That's a 0 out of 10.
Just to like move the needle like $100 million more for literally, whatever company yeah. they're working for.
But you know what? The bubble's about to burst. It's all tanking. Stock yeah. market's down. The credit's all going to crunch again. And I can't wait.
Seattle will implode once yeah. Amazon falls.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really looking forward to
it'll
it.
Look, it'll be great.
It'll be like a Jeff Bezos faking his own death situation.
Well, we have an episode about him, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Going to the vault.
He's psycho.
The demise of Bezos.
Triple Capricorn.
Nice.
Oh my God, that's really offensive that you brought that up.
Yeah, it honestly is
that
offensive.
Real?
Yes.
Oh my God.
He's literally the devil 3 times.
Well, that. Oh, excuse.
It's true.
That is like psychotic, though.
He is psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way around it.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like a fascist, you
yeah.
know?
Well,
he's
think,
like Mussolini's status.
I think, unfortunately, that's what a triple Capricorn,
yeah.
that checks out.
It does check out.
It checks out.
Knowing
it
knowing
checks out.
What
I would,
know.
If you're a triple Capricorn who's listening and you aren't a tech bro, hit my line. Because I would love to find anyone who can have like the determination of a triple Capricorn without using it exclusively for like monetary gain and like mass control. That'd be cool. But
yeah.
I don't know if that really exists.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, We want to encourage all Triple Caps to contact Liz.
Please, call DM me.
Wait, okay, yeah, we need DM to do our actual rating.
Sorry, oh, okay,
it's
yeah,
so
yeah,
hot oh, in here.
Okay, yeah, we've like totally finished up our conversation about stand-up, but yeah, we have to do our,
diverted.
Our rating, and we yes. have to figure out what we're rating it on a scale of. Is it mics? Mm. 1 to 5, 0 to 5.
We have like a, you know, like yeah. an object.
Totally. Sure.
That's like the most obvious. Is there something is that more too fun?
Off, like though? Cord, microphone cord. How about the XLR noise that cable? You make when your XLR cable gets too close and it goes like bzzz.
Oh,
yeah. Feedback.
Yeah.
Feedback
five loop. Feedback loops.
Oh, little, I like that.
Yeah. One like to five feedback lot. Loops.
That's cute.
That yeah. is cute. Okay. So on a scale, why don't you start?
On a scale of 1 to 5, yeah, 5 feedback loops. I give stand-up comedy 5. Wow. Because I love giving everything 5 because I'm extreme and I'm very optimistic. So I give it 5 because I believe that, as with any other art form, it has very transformative potential. Mm-hmm. And when it's in the hands of someone who cares for it in the way that many of my peers do, it is an incredible vessel for instantaneous change.
Whoa.
Ooh.
5 out of 5.
You know, you're very eloquent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's almost like you talk into a mic for a little bit.
It's almost like I do.
It's almost like you're a performer.
Yeah. Professionally. Something. You got yeah. something, kid.
Thank you.
So for my rating, I think I'll do 4 out of 5 feedback mm-hmm. loops. Okay. I really love stand-up. I have since I was young. I like some of my first, like, you know, culturally important moments had to do with comedy and performing comedy. I've always watched SNL, blah, 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 like mm-hmm. All that, you know, stuff. But I think that what I'm really loving about the community now is that there are so many young comedians and stand-ups that are like doing a lot online, growing communities in their, you know, their local regions or whatever. Like if it's LA, there's like really cool stand-ups in LA mm-hmm. right now and mm-hmm. New York. And it's, I feel like the barriers to entry are getting lower and lower and lower as we go on. And it's like, it is for, improving like, over time. Yeah. Yeah, there are. So I took one off because like literally like whatever, Louis C.K. will it. Still get like,
I get it.
You know, whatever, like Dave Chappelle still has his like transphobic stuff. Like totally. Louis C.K. is still out there like roaming around, whatever, yeah. doing whatever. And they're still, yeah. gonna
still
get,
doing shows.
They're still going to get the most headlines. I literally like a straight man at my work. I was like talking about stand up with, and he was like, I'm going to a stand up show. And he was going to see Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan.
Whoa.
And that was literally, those were like the only two, like he's like,
he could name, I'm sure.
Yeah. He named yeah. like, oh, it was like Brian Regan or whatever, which is like fine, whatever. That's right. like straight. That's for you, I guess. I just really dislike that part of the world.
Understandable.
And wish that there was more like industry or like top down pushback on like some of those things. But like I get that it exists, and I'm not going to take too much away from just because of that, because I think there are really amazing performers out
Great.
There.
I yeah. agree with you.
So.
I similarly think it's a 4 out of 5, maybe like a 4.25 out of 5.
Yeah. Word.
Yeah.
I also like very much enjoy absorbing comedy as an audience member, and like I feel like there are a lot more opportunities for people, even on the mainstream scale, getting exposure for like different types of people that aren't just like cishet white dudes. That's mm-hmm. still obviously sort of the overarching, like, you know, they're all gripping at this fucking.
It's I like
know.
Kind of related, but like the In morphing every... of like New York stand-up scene to being like, oh, like Kate Berlant, like doing like musical versions of yeah. things, or like, oh, stand-up isn't just like talking, yeah. maybe standing up yeah. and talking to a mic. There's like other versions yeah. of it where people can totally. Be really creative and like silly yeah. or whatever. That's really
yeah. That seems like wonderful. A good evolutionary. Step mm. in stand-up comedy is not just like so yeah, what do you think
the
about
art
about
form it? Can be anything
yeah
it's cool
which is like I'm really enjoying watching the evolution and like, you know, going to see shows that you've been in mm-hmm. in Seattle, like very sort of small scale intimate experiences where you actually feel like, you know, you sort of get to like see the sweat from the brow of, you know, people that are performing. Yeah. It's very
more people should go to comedy shows.
More people should go to comedy shows.
More people should do comedy, and more people should go to comedy
shows. I could not agree with you more. Absolutely. Yeah. Come to my shows in particular.
Pay for them and support.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I agree.
For sure.
Oh, so do you want to just tell us one more time where people can find your podcast?
Do all your plugs, give all the details.
Any shows you have
coming up? My name is Clara Pluton and my Instagram is Clara Pluton.
Famously just changed it.
Yeah, it was Real Chris Angel, but I need to brand my name and have my name be everything that is to me.
I think Bowen Yang still is
Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
But I definitely missed Real Chris Angel, and then for a minute I missed having a joke handle, and then I changed mine to Marxism for Minions. So we don't know how long Clara Pluton might last. Because it's like, I just, you know, I like to just like be a little random and have fun. My website with all my upcoming shows is clarapluton.org. Listen, I have to buy, it's .org because my dad bought clarapluton.com to get me to talk to him. It's like a very long story that we do not have time for.
Oh my God.
Talk to me about it later, IRL. So now I'm an organization. Listen to my podcast everywhere podcasts are heard. Come to the Comedy Nest every Tuesday at 8 p.m. at the Rendezvous. And I have some exciting things coming up soon. So follow me on Instagram.
So stay tuned.
And the name of your podcast again is
Hot Takes with Hot Dykes.
Yes. Okay. Yay.
HTWHD. Come to my live show at Town Hall as a part of their homecoming festival on September 24th at 8 p.m. Tickets at townhall.org.
Wow, you like really have it all.
Yes, it's all there. Instantly getting right to it.
Cool.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. Yay. We're so excited.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. If you have something to get off your chest, email us at rantandreviewpod@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail on the rant line at 805-635-RANT. 805-635-7268.
That's right. We've branded it the rant line.
Yes.
And if you like Rant and Review, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Seriously, we need reviews.
Yeah, so
please,
like,
if you like the show, it's not that hard. Just like,
we do it all the time.
Take your little fingies and your thumbs and go to the iTunes and then, or not iTunes, go to Apple Podcasts and be like, I'm just going to type a little thing and have it say something nice and rate us 5 stars, obviously, because we're really fun and funny and you love us. And then also follow us on Twitter at @rantandreview, @rant_and_review, and on Instagram at @rantandreview.
Bye.